I just felt an impression yesterday in the evening service to go again to the tabernacle. And so the pictures we had yesterday were not very clear. So we'll be looking at that again today. So this was our main this was our main picture. What? Okay, I see. Well, it's like we have to do some structural adjustment in the way we are sitting. So where? Here.
You want me to draw on this one while you're drawing on the other
one? Okay. We'll need to move this. Okay, fine. Okay, so we'll take a second.
We'll see who draws best.
Yours will be better. Okay. So okay, well, it's okay. Well, yes, yeah, too big because we'll need to put something above. So one big one, then two small ones up and down.
Alright, I see.
Okay, great. Okay, and then we'll have the tabernacle. Okay. 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 So, and then we have the... Sorry.
We need another color then.
How many colors you got? I'll take one.
Okay, so... This will be the east gate. Okay, so this will be taste. This will be sight. So this is the sight gate. This is the taste gate. This is the hearing gate. This will be smell gate. And then this will be this will be touch. Good. And then this is the what the east gate or mind. So the mind is up.
Sight.
Yes. And then you have the emotion. Then desire. And then the will. And then this is the soul, and then it is a realm of darkness. So this is the body, and the spirit, and then this is the Holy Spirit. As God the Son, and then God the Father. And then this is the flow of life into the soul, and then into the body. Okay, all right. Yeah, I think that's okay.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Mark,
you need
soul in the middle one.
Okay, you need to use right.
I mean,
okay.
This is soul thing.
Yeah.
Soul darkness.
Okay, let's put one more. So this is Moses. Oh dear, this is not right. So this is David. This is the tabernacle of David. This is Moses. And this is jokes. So put your name. Well, so put your name.
You want a cue?
That's David.
What are you doing?
The tabernacle of David. That's just the ark.
Oh, okay.
So you can see the three. These are the three temples that we have. The first one, you all know, the tabernacle of Moses. Brother Seth received the revelation of, and then he taught us so diligently and efficiently. David, when David came, he also brought his own tabernacle. But the tabernacle of David, it's an intermediate, was a stepping stone to the tabernacle of man. So in the tabernacle of Moses, of David, you didn't have any veils. So you just had the ark, and that was the only thing that was there. And the scripture says in Acts 15, I was actually quoting Amos chapter 9, where he says, "I will raise again the tabernacle of David that has fallen down." So I remember when the early church, when they came together, they didn't know how to progress. Where they were is where we are now, of not knowing how to progress, of not knowing how to make a transition from the Old Testament and then to come to the new. So it has always been a problem in the church, to make the transition. But we don't have time, so it has to be very, very quick. The tabernacle God is raising is you and me. And Jesus, in his ministry, in his early ministry, was very direct, very quick to make that distinction. As early as John chapter 2, he was already speaking of the tabernacle of his body. In John chapter 2, they came to him and he said, "Look, this temple, destroy it, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Bible says, I think in verse 19 of John chapter 2, says, "And he spake of the tabernacle or the temple of his body." So Jesus made that distinction, but we have not made that distinction. And the generality of church, what you hear, the ministry, most of the ministry you will hear on TV, the things you read, most of it is still colored with Old Testament terminology and approaches and so on. And that is part of the reason why we are not overcoming. Because the temple is external to us. We are looking at, you come into this building and you walk in a, you are very sober, you are very, conscious of God, but you're not conscious of God within the real tabernacle. And yesterday I began to talk about Emmanuel. You know, the concept of Emmanuel was also the first thing of, right in Matthew chapter 1, he began to speak of Emmanuel. He said, you will call his name Emmanuel, meaning God in us. And part of the theology that we have received is to, again, deny Christ the access he has to you and to me. And what is that access? That man cannot be like God. Cannot express the nature of God. That's not true. You know, because the Bible says that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in him. Now, and the lie is to say, well, that is for Jesus. It's not true. Because scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. So everything that you have seen Jesus do or express is exactly what God expects you to also express. And it is not in any way, it's not derogatory, it's not in any way trying to, usurp God's authority or God's honor, nothing of the sort. God made man to be his dwelling place. And he gave us certain pictures, certain principles. And yesterday I was talking about the principle of the seed. A seed has to have a body. God is a spirit. He needs a body. And Hebrews says, a body has thou prepared for me. Every spirit must have a body to express itself. So, within you, your spirit must have a body. The body, a quote, that your spirit must have is the soul, is your soul. And then your soul must have a body, and that is your own physical body. So that's what 1 Corinthians 15 says, that to every seed, God giveth it a body. And there are different types of bodies. There is a spiritual body, there's also bodies physical. There's also spiritual seed, and there's also seeds naturally. So everything you see in the natural is also there in the spiritual dimension. And those are the principles of priesthood. So, there is no way you are going to overcome lust, or you overcome anger, overcome the spirits that are familiar, that is, the spirits that have been transmitted, you know, through your generations, without realizing the principles. I'm always saying principles in my secular work. So I hope it doesn't sound too academic to say principles. So I'll do for a better word, but it's not a lecture. God works with principles. There are things that God doesn't change. You know, God must have a seed, and there must be a body. And the seed in itself is powerless. Bible says, unless a grain of wheat, which is a seed, does what? Falls to the ground and dies. It abideth alone. That is, it cannot express itself. But when that seed dies, when it comes to the body, the earth becomes the body that the seed needs to express itself. Okay? So, if someone comes with an idea and says, well, Obama, well, let me, that's not a good example. Maybe, you say Hitler is God. All right? Hitler, you know, was operating. That's an idea. It's a seed. Now, that seed requires a body, a group of people to receive it. And, you know, Hitler needed a group. It was the SS. Okay? So within that, he had a group of people who believed, who received that seed, and it began to maximize. And within a few years, it was a global phenomenon. I mean, you even had a world war that came from it. It's the principle of God, actually, that the devil is using. That God will bring a seed, and this seed will maximize, will bring forth within the seed all the glories is contained within the seed. So within the, for humanity, man has a seed. All the genes are present in every cell. Every cell is present. So that's the thing with stem cell technology. Okay? And they are pushing the frontiers. And you don't know what's going on. And that's why God must intervene, because man is playing God. And man is going very, 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 very close. So God has to intervene. You know, so, and that's why we don't have time. And that's why we must, you know, also understand the things that are happening. So we're looking at the principle of the seed, the principle of body. So every spirit must have a body to express itself. And spirits are transmitted, are passed on. Okay? Let me give a practical example. You know, in the home, the wife has a bad day, or she's, well, when you say bad day, well, it's a very good common language, but what it actually means is that she's being tormented by a spirit. I hope you are not annoyed with me for being so direct. Okay, so I can be direct. All right, good. So what happens is that this particular sister, okay, let's say a brother, okay, let's say me, I am being tormented by a spirit. Okay, I'll give you an example. There was a man called Peter. He had the same problem, but Jesus recognized it. He said, "Get thee behind me." What did he say? "Get thee behind me, Satan." So because he realized that there was a spirit that was walking. Yes. All right. So the behaviors that we express are actually spirit generated, spirit, you know. So the emotion does not function without it being controlled or caused to function. But that's what Ezekiel 1 says, that the spirit of a living creature was in the wheel, and wherever the spirit will go, the wheels will go. So what is the wheel? The wheels speak of the soul. And within the soul, there's a spirit. Even though we draw it this way, there is no other way to draw it. Maybe God will give us reason to draw it better. But the spirit is within the soul, controlling what is ever. And when you say soul, mind, your mind. And my mind is the whole universe. Your mind, and it's simple. If God, you know how big God is, you know. I mean, look at the one Earth, a very dark star, okay. And and by the way, the Earth itself is a heavenly body. The Earth itself is in the heavens. We are in the heavens, even though you think you are American, but actually, you are American in the heavens. You are rotating in the heavens among the stars. The stars are your neighbors. Okay, good. So if you understand that, then you can understand the principle of priesthood. You know that God, he says, the Son of Righteousness will do what? The Son of Righteousness will arise. Now, Son, the principle of Son is the principle of darkness and light. There's a time when the sun will withdraw its shining and become dark. Yeah. But that same sun will come to a point where it shines. Yeah. So Jesus, when it was essential, the Bible said that he unveiled himself. And his clothing was even brighter than the sun in its highest glory. Do you understand? And that was within a normal man that was walking around. Do you understand that? It was, but you see, when it was not necessary, that glory was hidden. Yeah. And the Bible said that we have this glory in earthen vessel. That doesn't really contain, convey the meaning. You have that glory in David Wilbold.
Praise God.
That glory is within you. The nature of the sun is within you.
Hallelujah.
It's a nature of light. Okay? Now, if you understand that, then you can understand. You can understand what, you know, talking about offering and priesthood and what God is saying. So, when you come, you say you want to be born again, what you are actually saying, what God understands by that Christian religious terminology, is that you are saying to God, I am ready to be restored to your third heaven.
Yes.
That's what you are saying. You are saying that my soul,
yes,
I am now ready to become an altar of God. Because this place, what you call brazen altar, well, it's brass. And we know brass means judgment. Now, why do you need to judge the soul? Because the soul has been an altar of Baal worship, an altar of pleasure, an altar of bad thoughts, an altar of violence. And this happens where what you call Egypt. So you say this is Egypt, or you call it the world, but I have a better scriptural word. Hell is not the worst. There's a worse one, or the baddest of them all, or it's the lake of fire. And to this, there's no deliverance. Okay, so when the soul comes into the world, is actually coming into a dimension of hell. Okay? So the that soul, that child, is on its way to the lake of fire. That's ultimate separation from God. Because God is a spirit. God dwells in a realm of light. And there's no way a creature of darkness can come into God's kingdom. It's not possible. In fact, the lake of fire is God's mercy.
Yeah.
Because the man doesn't want God. He doesn't want to be part of God. So God will give him a place that he will be comfortable in. And that is where? Darkness. Because he's a creature of darkness. And that's where he's going to go. So, because see, the principle within the soul, I said, the soul is synonymous with darkness. The principle of darkness is that the darkness is continually becoming more dark. The Greek people had five words that they used to describe darkness within man. And you find that scripture in John chapter 3, verse 18. You see that for man loved darkness. And because man loved darkness, man will not come to the light. Because his works are what? Darkness. The word, the Greek word, I'm sure Bramak will know this. The Greek word translated works is egon. It's from there you have the word energy. Egon. That's the word. That's where you have the word energy. It came from that Greek word, egon. And the word egon means business, preoccupation, employment. So do you understand what God is saying? The soul of man has a business. It has an employment. My employment is not that I'm a doctor. No. I have a native or original employment. What is that employment? To manufacture darkness. That is to manufacture, package, and export, transport, and sow darkness everywhere I go to. That is the natural employment of the soul of man. Now, the one I was interested is the Greek word sapros. Sapros. That's why you have those who read biology. You have saprophytic. Now it means something that decays. Decay. Or something that becomes degenerate. Or something that is depraved. So that means the soul of man is continually becoming depraved. That is, it doesn't require any input to make it to degenerate. On its own, it has the ability or the energy of becoming darkness. And some of those words are translated as wickedness, evil, and so on. Okay, so that is the nature of the soul. And when the soul of man sinned, it came into this business of darkness, of wickedness, of evil. And the evil is self-propagative, self-renewal. God is a self-existent God. You know, God doesn't create, it's self-existent. And will ever, it says, I am that I am. 1,000 years, I am. 1 million, or however your mind can go, he's still, I am. He's the eternal God. Now, that is a nature that man has. But that nature that man has is in the dimension of evil. That is to produce darkness and become darkness. So, when this soul says, I want to be born again, what he's saying is that I am coming for judgment. And that is what you call the brazen altar. God is judging the darkness and the wickedness in the soul. Of course, that man feels good, he feels wonderful, you know, but you see, this brazen altar is a place of covenant. God makes a covenant with the soul. And that is what the Bible calls the sure mercies of David. Now, what did God say to David? He says, David, I'm making a covenant with you that forever and ever and ever, there will always be one from your loins or from your generation that will sit upon the throne of David forever. Now, I ask you, was the throne of David forever? Huh? Physically? Well, is that true? I mean, it stopped somewhere. And that was the problem Herod had, that he was one of the children of Edom. He was not Jewish. And God had so the Jews had a problem with that. So that natural thing stopped. In other words, God was speaking of another type of throne. And the throne he was speaking was the throne of the soul. So God is saying, I will not leave your soul in hell. So God was making a covenant, I will take your soul from being an altar of Baal, and I will make you an altar of God. I will make you a partaker of my kingdom. I will bring you into the third heaven. So the kingdom of God is coming within. So the different steps you find in the tabernacle are actually different journeys of your soul and of my soul from one level of glory to another level of glory. So that is what the tabernacle, that's what the brazen altar stands for. Now, when the man, you know, has come in into the kingdom, he's coming and he has a covenant with God. So the soul is on his journey to becoming the throne of God. So it comes. Now, this soul is carnal. This soul is earthbound. This soul has natures and habits that are worldly. And that are worldly, that are of the world. Okay? So it must come to a point of consecration. It must come to a point where it is separated from the things of the world. It must be separated from common use and set apart for a specified use. Okay? So, and we do that all the time. In your house, there are things, I mean, for instance, there are dresses I wear. I don't wear them when I'm doing housework. So you wear them when you're going for meetings, you're going out. So those dresses are consecrated. Do you wear your suit the way Mr. Davis is dressed? And does he wear that to go and cook? He wears that when he's going out, isn't it also? And this is the point, this is the problem that we as a people have, because we have actively resisted the teaching of God regarding consecration. That is, we do not understand, the church does not understand the need to be set apart. And you see, we cannot even think of coming into the holy place. Yes, we say we're holy place people. I don't know about that. Because what qualifies you to become a priest is that you must be set apart. You must be consecrated. Not just set apart, you must be purified. So you are set apart, and that which has been set apart is purified. The Bible said that any man that has this hope in him purified himself even as he is pure. So God has to do a work within this soul. This soul must now be introduced into the life of the Spirit. And that is the purpose of the brazen laver. Is to introduce the soul to the dimensions of the Spirit. So this is the brass altar. And then this is the laver. And I'm saying that this is the place where the soul is brought into the life of the Spirit. Now, when you say life, life has to do with eating. It begins from eating and ends in eating. Because if you do not eat, you won't have any energy. You will not have any life. And the person will die. You know, so Adam failed at the point of eating, at the point of receiving life. So the soul that is in the world is a man of himself. And that is what we were trying to show yesterday about the soul and the body. These openings are also in the body. So you have these five gates and this other one also in the body. As it is in the body, that's how it is in the soul. So, the carnal man, the natural man, does not know He doesn't have access to God. You know, he's dead. The things of God are religious. They are dead to him. They're not interested. If you look at this hall should be filled with children, young people. Where are the young people? They are at the movies. They are on Facebook. They are on Twitter. Where are they? You know, what are they doing? They are worshiping. But they are serving Baal. Because Baal has something to give. What does Baal give you? Passions. It gives you emotions. Fleshly emotions. The Bible calls it the wine of the rot of Babylon. Maybe, Brother Mark, you need to look at that word. Rot. You know, the way they explained it is it's a Greek word that talks of something that, you know, it's like if you have a fizzy drink, if you buy Coca-Cola or soda, you open it up, it's fizzy, yes. Okay, so it's exciting. All right, and in the old English word, they use the word rot. But it's actually speaking of something that's fizzy, that has that kind of quality. And Babylon has that kind of excitement, the flesh. The lust of the flesh is exciting. So any product in the world must have something to do with the lust of the body. You have to bring some, they say it's sexy, it's hot, you know, it's, you know. And the young people are sold with it. They are not here. Where are they? They are in the ball games. Huh? They're watching the ball games, excited, everybody shouting in the stadium. Do you know anybody who sleeps in the stadium? You know anyone that goes to watch Los Angeles Lakers and he's sleeping? Does it happen? No way. How many youths do you know who are watching CNN, are watching Nickelodeon or one of those programs, and that child is sleeping? He is alive. But when he comes to church, sleep. And mommy says, okay, sleep. Alive, he's a little child, let him sleep. Little child sleeping. But when he goes to the television, my God, you will see the elements. He's awake and excited. And that is to show you what the priesthood we are talking of. We are speaking of the priesthood of the soul. The soul is born to be a priest. And cannot do anything but to be a priest. Do you understand? So if you don't serve God, you are going to serve the devil. And this is what is going on. And the devil knows it. And he has perfected this for 6,000 years. He knows man. He knows man. He knows what man needs. That man needs energy. He likes emotion, passion. And the Bible said that lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Do you understand? Pleasure. Your car, the car you drive is pleasure. Yeah? Everything, you know, so the desire is the whole world is the desire. Amen. And the devil has planned it very well, and that is what the church has to overcome. Yeah. And that is church. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Now, so the days of Old Testament worship are over, brethren. We as a people must say to God, we are done with it. Say, Lord, can we start church? And where does church start? It starts within. And we must deal with our appetites. You know, and the Western world is characterized by appetite. You know, even Obama says that America has an insatiable lust for energy. It buys power from everywhere in the world. So he wants to restructure it. But God wants to restructure something else. And that is our lust for lust. The pleasures of life. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. And the biggest of them all, the pride of life. And it's all sitting within. All sitting within. And the Bible said that he as God, seated in the temple of God, demanding worship as God. That's self. And that is this the soul. Now, the soul is in prison. The soul is in, your soul is in captivity of the flesh. The devil has used the flesh to bind the soul. And the soul is crying out for deliverance. And God said, I will not leave your soul in hell, or suffer my Holy One to see corruption. So that is the covenant God makes at that brazen altar. Say, I am going to take you. So God is taking you from being an altar of Baal. You come, so instead of going this way, you make a detour. So where is it? So it's going all the way to the lake of fire. You come into the kingdom and you begin a journey. And that journey is to end up as an altar of God. And there are certain brethren who had a vision of this altar. One of them was a young man called Ezekiel. And I'm speaking to the young men. Well, I'm a young man. You know, I mean, you know, I look young. You don't mind the gray hairs. I speak to the young men. Now, Ezekiel was a young man in captivity, out of his country, in exile. Do you understand? Taken out of his surroundings. He could have been in depression, in isolation, complaining, bitter, God, why didn't you? You know, he could do all that. And he said, while he was in captivity, he said, the heavens opened and he saw visions of God. Yeah. Young men can see visions from God. Yeah. And, you know, so the heavens opened and God began to speak to him. So he saw. And if you look at Ezekiel, it was a story of, you know, the vision, you know, what God was showing him about the temple. Another young man also called Isaiah also saw. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. Amen. And he didn't stop there. Of course, we know John. John, he also saw the throne. And he wrote it down. John, you know, read the Revelation 4, 5, all through. He talked about the throne. And he talked about the altar. Of course, we know it's not just this first altar. Okay, he was talking about the golden altar. We call this the golden altar. Now, initially, the soul was an altar of Baal, so it had to come to judgment. Now, when God has brought judgment, so the soul now has the nature of God, so it becomes a golden altar. The flesh is covered. There's still flesh, but the flesh is covered by gold. It's coated. And of course, you know, for me and you, once in a while, the flesh gets exposed. And we must make sure we stay under the covering of the nature of God. And we know that that altar is what now goes, now breaks through the veil. Now, the veils are administered. There's a ministry at the veil called cherubims. It's a ministry. And it's a nature. And it's a ministry that comes to you in the ministry of the Word of God. And it's a ministry to break the power of the flesh. So, at the brazen liver, you know, we come into the experience of baptism. Now, baptism means to be separated from one situation into another. And then, when you are separated, to be introduced to something new. It's like you take a sponge of... you take a sponge and you put it inside water. you know, it's, they call it baptizo. When you bring it out, it drips of water. Isn't that so? Now, this is what, you know, that's what happens to the soul. That the soul is introduced into the realms of heaven, the heavens of God. It's not as though the soul was not in the heaven. The soul has always been in heaven, but has been in the heavens of darkness. So it's not as though that you are not in the spirit. Now, we need to look at that term. What does God mean by in the spirit? Every soul is in the spirit. What does it mean to be in the spirit? To be in means you are covered.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yeah.
Am I making you sleep? Okay, good. I'm saying every soul is in the spirit. To be in the spirit means you are under the covering of a spirit. Now, the soul was designed by God to be ruled over by a spirit, because the spirit itself is of a higher spiritual energy and power and dimension than the soul. And the devil and his angels are of a higher dimension. The Bible says that has made man a little lower than the angel. So, by God's making, man is always lower. The soul is always lower. So, when the soul was cast out of the gardens of God, it came under the authority and government of unclean, violent, rebellious, ungodly spirits. So when you say you are being born again, you are just changing spirits. You are changing spirits. So when you say I have come out of Babylon, I am now in end time, you just change church location, but you have not changed your spiritual government. And that's what the Bible says, come out of Babylon. Come under the covering of these rebellious spirits and come into the covering or the government of the kingdom of God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So if you understand that, then you can understand baptism, you know, that God at this experience changes the government over the soul, that the soul now comes under the control of the Spirit of God. So this is what is happening here. That the spirit, remember, this spirit has been dormant. This spirit has been dormant. Dormant in the sense that it has not been under the control of the Spirit of God. Okay? It has been under the control of violent, unclean, ungodly spirits that are driving it in the direction of destruction. Alright? So now, when you say you are baptized, when you say you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, what it means, that the Spirit of God now has access. Now has access to your spirit. I'm sorry, the board is busy. I hope you can... It's busy, but you have to... I'm sure it's clear enough. Okay. So, the Spirit of God now quickens your spirit. Your spirit comes alive. And you can feel the life of God. You come into a meeting and someone begins to sing, I was born. You know, you feel the life of God flowing through you. Do you know so? Do you understand? Because you are now in the Spirit. So, Paul says, if you dwell in the Spirit, let us also walk. Now, that word walk means you should actually be fed. Now, it is the responsibility of the husband to nourish and provide for the wife. Is it not so? And when the devil was marrying your soul, he was very diligent to provide food, to give you nourishment, to give you excitement. You never lacked anything. He said that when we were in Egypt, we ate of the cucumber, of the garlics, of the leeches, the fish of Egypt. Now we are in the wilderness and our soul is what? Dried. The only thing we have to eat is this manna. Don't you understand? Your soul. So the soul must be fed. And it is the spirit that feeds the soul. And when the devil was in control of your soul, he was very diligent to feed you. But he was feeding you with death. Now, the life of Egypt is characterized by the Nile. The Nile. The waters of Egypt. That's what gives life. Someone says, America, you build houses along the highway. That the houses are one block thick and 40 miles long. Is that true? You build houses along the highway, one block thick, and a lot, because the highway gives life to the city. Isn't that so? Good. So the Egyptians built their houses along the Nile, because Nile was their life. But guess what comes out of the Nile? Huh? Frogs. Unclean spirits. Huh? Ants. All manner of things. Those are the defilements of Egypt. And that is what the soul was. The soul is used to feeding on garbage. When you get angry, sometimes, well, you have to forgive me. So that when I get angry, I'm very happy. That's me. I'm telling you about myself. So I'm not about you. When you are engaged in lust, you are happy. Okay, that's me now, so not you. Alright? When you quarrel and you maybe you want to show someone that look, I am superior to him. Yes. You know, you manipulate his emotion and make him feel bad, you say yes, I've showed him that. Yes. I'm from Iowa. Oh, I'm from San Francisco. We're Californians. Look, we don't take that shit. The soul is happy. Yeah. It's receiving life. That's his life. Yeah? When you make a deal, what you call a deal, someone is supposed to sell something to you at $10, you buy it for $5, say, I got a great deal. I got a great deal. And you say to them, oh, you feel happy. That is the nature of the soul. The soul is serving a priesthood. And God says, that has to stop.
Amen.
That has to change.
Amen.
The soul must come into a new priesthood.
Amen.
It must be fed by a different system. Okay? Someone says, all my springs are in thee.
Yes.
You know? So, God told the children of Israel, why do you think? He says, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Why didn't God speak of some of that, you know, terminology? It says milk and honey. To a land of fountains of water, springs. You know, you will eat from orchards that you didn't plant. But I want to tell you something. The realms of the spirit are the place of milk and honey. Amen. Well, I don't blame you, because I'm there also, because I'm just wondering, I mean, is it not this church business? I've not seen milk and honey in it. You know, man is dark. Doesn't know God, does not excited at. So the emotions, I say, look, I'm not impressed. This thing God is giving me, I'm not impressed by what God is saying to me. I want action. And that's why the Bible, Paul was praying that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. That you might know the hope of your calling and the riches of your inheritance in the Spirit. We haven't seen it. And because we have not seen it, we are not excited at God. Amen. Until they started at God. The emotions are not necessarily, say, look, I'm not impressed. I think I'm better with the hamburgers and the chips that I'm used to. I mean, that's great time. If you want to have a great time, you go to hamburgers and you do all those things. But God says, if you want to have a great time, come to me. Come to the waters. Come to the waters, and I will feed your soul.
Amen.
I will feed your soul. You know, so the soul must be baptized, must be introduced, must be separated from the realms of the flesh. That is the baptism. So it comes into a new place called holy place. Holy place is a term, but what it means that the soul no longer is receiving energy from the flesh. It's now looking upward to get life. Amen. If you want to have a great time, you go to God. You turn to the scriptures. You start praying. You start worshiping God. You put on tape. And there's one man that's always shouting. And he will shout, Brother Mark will be there teaching. And you begin to enjoy the word. You know? So there are things that God has given. So you begin to acquire an appetite for the things of God. Someone says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. So you're excited. So you have business. 2 hours to fellowship, you close your business. Oh, I'm not going to make money. I don't need that money. I don't need the money I will make during fellowship time. Amen. So if God is going to bless me, it has to be before fellowship. Because I'm on my way to fellowship. I'll be there first. Because I'm excited.
Yeah.
But we're not excited. We're more excited with our work. So no. David, please send me the link. While I'm in my shop, I can follow the link and see what's going on in fellowship. You know, I don't need to come to Dubuque. I can follow, watch it on Skype. Are you going to have Skype fellowship? Fine. You're going to broadcast it on Skype. Are you not broadcasting it? So you guys go there. I'll be at home and I will follow it on Skype. Now even technology is easier. You know, so I'm not going to Skyline. No, I'll just be at home and I'm going to follow it on Skype. Because when I stay home, I make a couple more dollars, isn't it so? And that's going to pay my bills. Look, I'm having a hard time paying my bills, so look, I need to look for more openings. You see, the Lord is going to bless my business. The Lord is good all the time.
Yeah.
And what it means is that your eyes are dark.
Yes.
Yeah. Says the God of this world has blinded the heart, the mind of them who are still worshipping Baal. Uh-huh. Baal is money.
Yeah.
And it's called dollar and naira and pound. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We need to make a switch, brethren. And we need to understand that this thing is about the soul. It's about you. And our lifestyle has been the lifestyle of the people of the world. And we as a people must design a new lifestyle. You Americans design a new lifestyle so that everything that is British, you become anti-British. Let us design another lifestyle that is anti-flesh.
Yes. Amen.
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 And the American lifestyle is complete. Everything, I've watched you, everything to the detail doesn't have anything to do with British. And that shows that we have the ability to also design something that is completely separate from the flesh. And we will be a people of the Spirit. It will take diligence. We need to really sit down and look at it. Sit down and look at your lifestyle, the things you do on a daily basis. And you'll be able to see. You know. So you can start simple. Don't start big. Say, God, change my appetite.
Yes. Amen.
I tell about myself, when I get home, I go straight to the television. You know, I mean, I've been working all day. I need some time to rest. So I don't even go to the room. I go straight to the sitting room, and I sit down, and I put on, I need to see what's happening on CNN, because it's going to help me to preach. So I've stayed there, and I'm looking at the different news programs. They start by 6, go up to 8 or 9. Then from 9, they have sports programs. By 12 o'clock, I'm still in front of the television. But, you know, so I've gone from one program to the other. And then I go to the room and say, oh, yes, I've not read any scriptures today. That's okay, fine. I just, you know. So 30 minutes, I read some scriptures. So I'm tired. I have an important meeting in the morning by 8 o'clock. I need to be up. So 5 hours being a correspondent of CNN. And then 30 minutes reading scriptures.
Lord.
That's just an example. You know, so you probably maybe go to movies. In fact, now you don't even need to go out to go to movies. While you are driving, you can go to movies. Your phone, you downloaded the film on your phone, and you're watching it while you're driving. You know, the young people that are walking on the streets, they're testing. And what are they testing? You say, oh, John, oh, what do you have for breakfast this morning? I say, I had some chips. And then you call the rabbi and say, oh, what are you going to do this afternoon? So, I'm going to watch a movie. So you're busy.
Yeah.
I'm busy. You call, they say, no, Dad, Mom, I don't have any time. Can you help me go shopping? No, Mom, I don't have any time. I'm very busy. I'm going to hang out with my friends. And the hanging out with your friends is what? Flesh. And why? What you call hanging out is priesthood. You are serving, you are bringing offering, you are serving a spirit. And then when we do that for 7 days, then on Sunday, we are going to fellowship. Then when we come, there is nothing on the altar. The fire is gone out. And then when we come, let's go off to Zion. Let's go up to Zion, Lakers game. Nothing. Then when you're there, you say, yes, I remember that sister. She didn't greet me very well the other day. This brother said something to her. So your mind is on the ground. Okay, someone says no bite. Yeah. And then so we're quarreling, you know, so we want to settle this, or this person said this. So the devil has kept us all at that point. And God is saying it is time to rise. And the rising is, you find there are two things that make you to rise. Those are the two wings. Those are the two things. The word and the spirit are the two wings. You see, the cherubims that they were showing, at one time they had 4 wings, at another time they got 6 wings. Amen. So they got 2 additional wings. And you get that wing, you get that ability. Wing means an ability to bring an offering. That what you see, the wing means the ability to operate in the spirit, to function in the spirit. To rise above the carnal level. And the word of God actually lifts you up. Give the scripture. It says that the word of God that comes to you will not come back to God void. Alright? The other scripture says, as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so far are my thoughts from your own thoughts. So the thoughts of God are, and your own thoughts are here. Do you understand? So God will send his word to take your thoughts and bring it up. So if you want to rise, you go to the word. You don't go to psychology. You don't go to philosophy. You don't go to theology. If I come here, I'm telling you theology is not going to do anything. It's the word of God that you need. Because the entrance of the word will bring light and life. Amen. So the word of God is important. That's why the devil is not a preacher of the word of God also. He has Bible school. He has translated the Bible. He has preachers. He has teachers. He preaches on television. Because he knows it's the word that will make the difference. So you must be word. Get it on your tape. Get it when you are sleeping, let it play. When you are having your bath, I found out that from the time I have my bath, I go into, you know, get clean up, wash up, I get into the car. It takes about 1 hour. And I can clean out one message while I'm brushing my teeth, cleaning up, you know, doing all that. Somebody is shouting on the television, somebody is preaching, there's a song going on. And when I get into the car, 1 hour is gone. And then I'm driving from my house to the office, another 2 hours. So 3 hours, you can do 3 messages. Just in the morning. Before you get to work. Then going back again, if you are driving, you do the same thing. You know, so it's the word. So, and as you are listening to the word, your thoughts are rising. The more of the word that you receive, your thoughts. So someone comes and he's talking about you, gossiping about you. He said, look, I'm not at that level. You don't understand. I don't dwell there. That's not my business. My business is in the heavens. Yes. You know, so the word of God that comes is coming for your emotions. It's coming for your desires. It's coming for your will. And it's raising them up. And the Bible says that the word of God is the sword of the spirit. The spirit cannot work if there's no word. So you get it in. So as the word of God is coming, then the spirit begins to flow through the word. The entrance of the word of God opens the door for the spirit to flow. Do you understand? So that's why the songs you sing must be word-based. The ministry of the word must also be on the word. Everything must be on the word. And that opens the door and the river begins to flow. You know, so we as a people, we must restructure. That's why the Bible says when you are in the house, talk about it. When you're on the street, talk about it. Teach your children. Do everything, you know, based on the word. Because that's what is going to lift you up. And then when you are lifted up, I think my time is gone. Okay. So when you're lifted up, the soul has a destination. And the destination is marriage.
Amen.
The destination is marriage. The soul must be married. And the husband is waiting for the soul. You know, Isaac was waiting for Rebecca, you know, so. You call it the camel train was coming. Someone who sang that song? That the camels are coming home. Alright? And while the camel was coming, there was a man in the field waiting for the camel to come. And that's Christ. So Christ is waiting for you. Now, the ministry of the word and spirit will behead you. That is, will take away the dominion of self. And makes you ready for Christ to become your head. So you are joined to Christ. Alright? And that is, you know, and so you find at the golden altar you have rings. And that is saying that the soul has now acquired, has now received the beauty, actually received jewels. Now, you know what are jewels? Jewels are spirits. The ornaments of the soul are certain spirits. And the principal ornament is what? Wisdom. He said, wisdom is the principal ornament of the soul. Amen. And the Bible said that by wisdom, men depart from iniquity. And when God sees that spirit in you, he will not despise you. Amen. So if you want to make yourself pleasing to God, you must put on beautiful garments. Where do you wear ornaments? Where do you put, you know, you see, for you to put on any jewel, you must bend your neck, isn't it also? And that's piece of the submission. The bride must be submitted to Christ. If you are not submitted to Christ, you cannot receive any ornament in the spirit. And the Bible says that a simple woman, when you are simple, when you are plain, means that you don't have any ornaments. And a soul that is simple will fall into darkness, will be deceived. You know, will not be able to please God. But when you become wise, when you are properly dressed up, he said that he will be, the king will desire your beauty because you are properly clothed. You know, so the soul must be clothed, must be properly garmented, so that it can be married to Christ. So that is the experience of the golden altar, where the soul has been prepared and is now ready. Those wheels, those rings turn to wheels, able to break through the veil and come into the holiest of all experience, where the soul is now the garden of the Lord. And in a garden, you must have a river flowing. Amen. And that is the river of God. That river is God's covenant to feed your soul with the life of God, with the good things of God. Amen. So that those that love him will not want any good thing. So these are the dimensions that God, and it's not anything theory, it's practical. Something that you must walk in. It's a daily life situation. So I trust that we'll be able to take some of these things, go back to God and look at the scriptures and, you know, begin to redefine, you know, the way we have been carrying on. And for me, that is the key. Some of the things I'm sharing with you are things I have tried out. You know, I began to make certain changes. I said, God, change my appetite. So before I get home, I said, look, my friend, when you get home, I go to the bedroom. I don't go to the sitting room. So when I get there, I say, fine. I start praying. You know, so I'm changing my lifestyle. And it is an active thing. You must plan it. You must sit down. And you know the things that distract you, and you cut them out. And then the things that encourage you, you begin to build them up. You begin to invest in the things that will bring the word of God to you. And then the things that don't cut out, that don't help you, you cut them out. Of course, any friends or associations that will take you away, then those things are going to go. Bro, Mark was speaking of it yesterday. Variance. Yeah. Cut them out. Yeah. Cut them out. Yeah. You know, so I think that's where we are. God is saying we need to make adjustments. And we need to do it for righteousness. So that we will be overcomers. Praise the Lord. Amen.